Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
February 28, 1860, Lincoln at Cooper Union, Part 2. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections of History.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It was, as my friend the Lincoln scholar Harold Holzer has argued, the speech that made Lincoln president. Never before or since in American history, Holzer wrote in one of his many landmark works on Lincoln, has a single speech so dramatically catapulted a candidate toward the White House. Cooper Union proved a unique confluence of political culture, rhetorical opportunity, technological innovation, and human genius. In the address, Lincoln noted that the slave-owning interests wanted to suppress, quote, all declarations that slavery is wrong, whether made in politics, in presses, in pulpits, or in private. We must arrest and return their fugitive slaves with greedy pleasure. We must pull down our free state constitutions. The whole atmosphere must be disinfected from all taint of opposition to slavery before they will cease to believe that all their troubles proceed from us. Lincoln made a critical point as he moved toward his conclusion at Cooper Union. Most of them would probably say to us, let us alone, do nothing to us, and say what you please about slavery. But we do let them alone, have never disturbed them, so that after all, it is what we say which dissatisfies them. It is what we say. The very assertion of the rightness or wrongness of slavery was a source of agitation. Lincoln noted, they're thinking it right, and we thinking it wrong is the precise fact upon which depends the whole controversy. Little wonder, then, that the White South reacted out of fear and pride and anger when it heard words of those like Lincoln, who saw an entire way of life as founded not on a good, but on an evil. Lincoln closed his address nobly. Wrong as we think slavery is, we can yet afford to let it alone where it is. But can we, while our votes will prevent it, allow it to spread into the national territories and to overrun us here in these free states? If our sense of duty forbids this, then let us stand by our duty fearlessly and effectively. Let us have faith that right makes might, and in that faith let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it. The next day, Horace Greeley's Tribune reported, since the days of Clay and Webster, no man has spoken to a larger assemblage of the intellect and mental culture of our city. No man ever before made such an impression on his first appeal to a New York audience. Lincoln spoke the next day in Providence, Rhode Island, to a crowd in the city's railroad hall that had come, a journalist put it, to hear the great champion of republicanism in Illinois. Over the next 2 weeks, Lincoln greeted voters and addressed audiences in New England before returning to New York. "I have been unable to escape this toil," Lincoln wrote his wife from Exeter, New Hampshire on Sunday, March 4th. "If I had foreseen it, I think I would not have come east at all." This last point was that of a man who was tired, not one who truly regretted the many large and appreciative audiences, as well as the resulting publicity. "The speech at New York, being within my calculation before I started, went off passably well and gave me no trouble whatever," he recalled. "The difficulty was to make 9 others before reading audiences who had already seen all my ideas in print." But this was the price of the life Lincoln had chosen: to repeat himself many times over, to greet each new person in each new city as if the world revolved around that person in that city, to worry about the polish of each performance. Lincoln left New York for Springfield on the morning of Monday, March 12th, boarding the Erie Railroad. The Tribune wrote, "Mr. Lincoln has done a good work and made many warm friends. He would need them all and more," as attention moved to the Republican National Convention in Chicago, set for May. Lincoln's ambition was evident. "The taste is in my mouth a little," he confessed to a friend in April, and he liked his chances. After Cooper Union, he wasn't alone. "We hazard nothing in saying that no man," the Chicago Press and Tribune wrote, "has ever risen so rapidly to political eminence in the United States." Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and founding partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge, Margot Gray, and Chris Basil. Production assistance by Andy Jaskowitz and Adam Macias. Cadence 13 is an Odyssey company.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet, and I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.